me. No, but I can certainly make it worth your while. Now it was Skye's turn to place his hand on the other man's arm. Use your imagination, Norquinko. There must be things here that could shatter every paradigm we've ever recognized. At the very least, there must be things here that can get us to Journey's End ahead of the other ships, perhaps even give us a tactical advantage when they arrive behind us and start contesting territorial rights. You're aboard an alien spacecraft, and all you can think of is petty human issues like squabbles over land rights? Believe me, those things won't seem so petty in a few years. He grasped Norquinko's arm even tighter, feeling the layers of suit fabric compress beneath his grip. Think, man! Everything could stem from this one moment. Our whole history could be shaped by what happens here and now. We aren't small players, Norquinko. We're colossi. Grasp that, just for an instant, and start thinking of the kinds of rewards that come to men who make history happen. Men like us! He thought back to the Santiago, of the hidden room where he kept the chimeric infiltrator. I've already made long-term plans, Norquinko. My safety is guaranteed on Journey's End, even if events turn against us. If that should happen, I'd also arrange for your own safety, your own security, and if things didn't turn against us, I could make you a very powerful man indeed. And if I should turn around now and go back to the shuttle, I wouldn't hold it against you, Skye said softly. This is a terrifying place, after all. But I wouldn't guarantee you any sanctuary in the years that lie ahead. Norquinko dislodged Skye's grip from his arm, looking away until he had found his answer. All right, we go on, but we don't spend more than an hour in this place. Skye nodded, though the gesture was wasted. I'm pleased, Norquinko. I knew you were a man who'd see sense. They advanced. The going became easier now, as if the shaft was always sloping downwards. It hardly required any effort at all to slither down it. Skye thought of the way the red fluid had moved around him. The local control of gravity was so precise that the fluid had looked alive, flowing like a vastly accelerated slime mold. The creatures that had built the ship had learned to do far more than alter the Higgs field. They could play it like a piano. Whatever they are, he thought, whether they were all like the maggot, they had to be millions of years in advance of humanity. The flotilla must seem inexpressively primitive to them. Perhaps they had not even been sure it was the product of intelligent thinking at all. And yet it had interested them. The shaft opened out into a huge, smooth-walled cavern. They had emerged a little way up the side of one of its scalloped walls, but the place was so thick with cloying vapor that it was difficult to see the other side. The chamber was bathed in fetid yellow light, and the floor was hidden beneath an enormous lake of red fluid, which must have been many meters deep. There were dozens of maggots in the lake, some of them almost completely submerged. Many of them were of slightly different sizes and shapes to the one they had seen so far. Some were much larger than a man, and their end tendrils included specialized appendages and perhaps sensory organs. One in particular was looking at Skye and Norquinko now, with a single human-looking eye on the end of a stalk. But by far the largest maggot sat in the middle of the lake, its pale pink body rising meters from the water. Tens of meters long. It turned the end of its body towards them, a small crown of tendrils waving frond-like in the air. There was a mouth beneath the frond, absurdly small against the size of the maggot. It was human in shape, fringed in red, and when it spoke, emitting an immense booming voice, it formed human sound shapes. "Hello," it said. "I'm Lago."